old school, people. I have sent my message about 20 times to my tablet, and it still never showed up. So I gave up and brought the computer in this morning and just printed it off. So, you know, I have to do something that I just cringe at the fact of doing. I printed it and put it on paper. But we're going to be, I want to talk to you this morning about baptism in and baptism of. It's two different things. Baptism in, baptism of. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good in healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." We all know that the devil is great at stirring up controversy. He's the father of all lies and the author of confusion. And people have confused these two statements. If you want to write these down, baptism in the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And seeing the people of God walking in harmony with him is the devil's worst nightmare. Why does so much confusion surround the connection between the baptism and the Holy Spirit? It comes in part because the Bible mentions several different baptisms, two of which involve the Holy Spirit. There is less controversy over water baptism, but we'll get to that in a minute on what the controversy is with it. Although different Christian doctrines teach exactly how and what water baptism does mean, but almost all forms of Christian doctrine actually in theology practice some form of water baptism. The Bible mentions two baptisms that we cannot see with our physical eye. But you see the effects of it, though, at work in one's life. And the first one I want to talk to you about this morning is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, says this, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink one Spirit." The word "by" here at the beginning of this verse means through the agency or the instrumentality of. If you want to write that down, through the agency or the instrumentality of. "By" refers to this, to who is doing the doing. Does that make sense? The one who is doing the doing, the one who is actually performing the action. Okay? Here, we learn that the Holy Spirit is the agent who is doing the baptizing us into the body of Christ. If you are born again, it's because the Holy Spirit drew you, convicted you of your sinful state. When you chose Jesus to be the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit did a supernatural work of regenerating your spirit, making you ready for the eternity with the Father. Everybody with me? Okay, let me make this real clear. There's three things that take place in every baptism. You have to have a baptizer, a baptizee, and an element. You need an element, a baptizer, and a baptizee. Okay, so here, who is the one doing the baptizing? The Holy Spirit. Once again, we're talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing the baptizing. You are the baptizee. And what would be the element? Salvation. It's the blood of the Lamb. You are being baptized into the body of Christ. Okay? There's three things in every baptism. Okay? You're being baptized into the body of Christ. Now, moving on to water baptism. It said in Matthew 28, 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a little less confusion with water baptism because it's something we see with our own physical eyes. We see the element, the water. We see the one who is doing the baptizing, the pastor, the preacher, and the baptizee, which would be us, getting dunked in the water. Now, some churches teach that you cannot be saved until you get dunked in a tank. Okay? As soon as you come to an altar and say you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, the first thing they do is they take you over to the dunk tank. They got it ready all the time. They take you to the dunk tank and they dunk you. Okay? Now, I'm not here to knock anybody's doctrine. Okay? But I also believe in a deathbed repentance. And if somebody's sitting in a hospital bed and they're about ready to go and they say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, and they make that declaration of faith, okay? And they take their last breath and they never go into a dunk tank, I still believe that they've made heaven their home. Some churches, they teach a different philosophy. I'm not here to knock it. But we teach that water baptism is an outward sign of an inward confession. Okay? It's a representation. It's symbolism. Okay, it's symbolic. You are making an outward confession of something that happened in your inward self. Okay? If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want to come up here and get baptized, and I dunk you in a tank, and you come back up out of that tank, guess what you are? You are still a sinner. You're just a wet one now. Okay? If you do not make Jesus the Lord of your life, the only thing you did was go roll around in the water for a minute, okay? And it doesn't matter how long the preacher holds you underneath of there. If he waits until you stop kicking, hopefully you made heaven your home. So it does not matter how long he holds you there. If you do not make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never made that change in your spirit, if you've never made him, and here's the thing, is he's not just Savior. I don't know why I'm saying this, but he's not just Savior. He has to be Lord. We have a lot of people in this world today that believe Jesus has saved their soul. He is their Savior. But they have not made him Lord. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You have to make him Lord of every aspect of your life. Your family. Your finances. Your physical body. Your spiritual body. Your mental body. Everything. He has to be Lord of your life in every aspect of your life. I don't know why I said that, but that was free for somebody. I'm not charging you anything extra for that one. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now notice that. By grace, you have been saved. It does not say by the dunk of the tank. By grace. All right? That's when people say, well, we believe that you have to go into a tank, you have to go into the water and lay down and get dunked in order to be saved. This is how you kind of defeat that theology. It says, by grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There are churches today that are teaching that baptism in and baptism of is the same thing. They're two different things, okay? There's two different things. One, he is the baptizer. In the first one, the baptism of, he's the baptizer. When you are baptized in, that's what we're going to learn about now. This is the fun part. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says this. Now we're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. John says this. Remember, this is John. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Notice something here. Jesus is now returning the favor that the Holy Spirit did. At first, it was the Holy Spirit that drew you, convicted you, and it brought you to that place of repentance. Now, Jesus says, I want to introduce you to my friend, the Holy Spirit. And he says, now I baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire, power. See, there's something behind it. The reason why some of us are still struggling with stupid, petty sins is because we've never been baptized in the fire. The reason why we're fighting the same old battles is because we've never been baptized in the fire. See, whenever you've been baptized in the fire, it starts to clean up some of that junk in our lives. The reason why you cannot defeat that same old monkey that you've been fighting for 20 years is because you are trying to do this on your own. Once you've been baptized into the fire, he takes over. Amen. See, we are trying to do things on our own. We got to salvation and we thought it stopped there. It doesn't. So we go and we get dunked in a tank. And we think it stops there. You know, I reminded, whenever I think of something like this, it reminds me of a little kid by a pool. When you first put them by the pool, they want to sit there on the steps. And they just want to kind of be with their feet wet, and they might just kind of touch it with their hands, and they sit there and they get all happy whenever they see the splash. Okay? Then they get a little braver. So they step out off the steps a little bit, and now they're about waist deep. And all of a sudden, that's whenever they get a little comfortable, all of a sudden they just go poof, head first and start swimming, right? Nope. They sink. Anthony was about, I don't know, 4, maybe 5 years old. And I was helping Don pull the tarp off the pool. I think it was Allie, wasn't it? It was Allie. We were pulling the tarp off the pool. Now, you sit there and you tell the kid, get back. So what do they do? Take one step closer. Right? I know all of us always listen to our parents. Every time my dad said something, I heard him. I did not necessarily do what he said, but I heard everything he said. What does she do? No, she gets closer to the pool. Okay. Now, remind you, we just took the tarp off of this pool. Okay, and if y'all know where they lived at over here, it was like living in the forest around that pool. And when you take the tarp off of there, you did not know what was going to be found in there. snakes, frogs, a lot of green muck, you know, in the water. And there's Allie. And whoop, in the pool she went. Now, there's Don sitting there in the chair. I don't really remember exactly how I did it. All I know is that somehow or another, I got her out. I don't remember if I went in, if I just kind of wedged in. I don't remember any of that. It happened so quickly. And I got her out of the water. Now, the first thing I did whenever it came time to swim is I took her back into the water. See, she needed to understand that you don't be afraid. You can't be afraid of this. She started swimming before Anthony. We didn't want one experience to keep her afraid of something. And some of us have had experiences at a Pentecostal church, and you've seen people go rolling on the floor. They look like a rooster plucking at the ground. You know what I mean? And they sat there and went, this is kind of fun. I'm loving the energy, but I don't want that. Okay? People are falling out, shaking. You know, people are running. One of the things I remember whenever I was a kid, my dad was a runner. Okay? He was a runner. And he'd get all happy, and he'd take off. I remember, he was the associate pastor over at Sandia Valley for years. And he took off running. He goes down the aisle. He gets right where the double doors were at in the back. The dude does a flip. His head doesn't touch the floor. Just whoop, go, keeps on going. I remember as a little kid going, that's got to be God. And I also remember being afraid of it. Like, what in the world is going to go on in this place? I remember seeing some of these long-legged preachers that would get up on top of the pew and start walking over the pew, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? If I walk on the pew, my mama comes over and sit down. The preacher's allowed to do it. I wonder if I can do it now. But I remember being as a child being like, I don't want any of this. This is kind of crazy. I've been raised in this, and I'm still thinking y'all are nuts. Okay? My dad's the craziest of them all. Dude. I remember we were at a camp meeting one year, and I knew it was about ready to happen. I was a teenager, and I even been a little bit older. And I'm sitting right behind him in the pew, and if y'all have ever sat beside my dad and I, our legs go 100 mile an hour. We sit like this, okay? I sit like that nonstop. It's a good thing y'all don't have pews here, because at our old church in Maslin, either Kayla would smack me or my mom would sit there and go like this, stop it. Because we would be bouncing the pew, okay? Well, I seen my dad in front of me, and the leg was not bouncing. And I went, uh-oh, he's trying to control himself. Needless to say, it backfired. And the dude just stands up, flips, and sits back down. I'm like, I don't know who this dude is. But that has been some of our Pentecostal experiences, and we're thinking, I don't want to act like that. Okay? So we literally have done this. I love the energy, but I don't want to be baptized in something like that, because that's not who I am. Let me clarify something for you. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He is the perfect, absolute, perfect gentleman. He is not going to do anything, bring anything to you that you do not want to happen. My wife, outside of home, is not a loud person. At home, she gets a little boisterous. When y'all have seen her at church, she's not a loud person. And guess what? She's still baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, we have this thing like, well, if I get baptized, I'm going to end up starting rolling on the floor. I'm going to be hanging from a chandelier. And if you do, don't worry. I'm sure Steve will come back and hang them up for us. Thanks, Steve. See? Pull them down. We are so nervous about the one that wants to have a relationship with you. The Holy Spirit is longing and waiting to have a relationship with you. And He is not going to do anything to you that you do not want done. If you do not want to act like a fool, don't worry. You won't act like a fool. My G-Maw, she was a trip to watch. She did this. Whenever she'd start getting happy, then she'd start doing this. She was the rooster. I used to pick on her every once in a while. She'd, shut up, just leave me alone. I remember whenever, you know, she had backslid for probably 30 years. And I remember when she started going back to church, and she gave her life to Christ. And I'd never seen her really in church outside of a special occasion. She never came. So the first time I ever seen her do that, I looked at my dad. I'm like, look at J-Mo. He goes, oh, I used to see that every Sunday night when I was growing up. I'm like, that girl? He's like, oh, yeah. Just because your grandma acted a certain way does not mean you are going to be acting a certain way. Just because my dad does a flip does not mean I'm going to be doing a flip. It better be God. It would. It would have to be God. Y'all are going to be rooting for it now. Their prayer has just changed on Sunday mornings. Holy Spirit, show up, and I want to see that boy flip. Flipping, Jesus, flipping. And I'm going to sit here and go, I rebuke you. I don't want to make a trip to the hospital. That's true. He would have to be the one to come and pick me up and take me. Oh. And I got off my notes. I hope y'all are happy. I don't even know where I'm at. What'd y'all do to me? All right. Thank you. Thank you. So, who's doing the baptizing? Come on. Jesus. What is He baptizing us in or with? The Holy Spirit. Only Jesus performs this baptism, immersing us in the Holy Spirit. Now write these scriptures down if you want. Four different times in the Bible is this revealed, okay? Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Okay, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John 1 and 33. Four different times the Bible talks about this. Many Christians are holding tight to theology that there are only two types of baptism. It should be apparent that beyond baptism into Jesus and water baptism, Scripture repeatedly describes this third baptism where Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. Jesus even commanded his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait. This is why I hate paper. There. He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry. Wait. This is how we wait. God, right now, I'm just asking that you would move into my life, Lord. You know that my sister's got cancer, so Father, I'm just asking that you would heal her. Lord, my husband is a knucklehead, so I'm asking that you would deliver him. God, you know my financial needs, so fix them. And I'm going grocery shopping today, so if you can spot me a good deal, I would love it. Amen. That's how we wait. He tells the disciples to go and wait. This is what wait means. Wait. He says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, we are so busy being busy, we don't know how to wait. And I'll be the first one to admit it. Whenever I'm sitting still, I get antsy. Okay? Anthony is just as bad, if not worse. That dude played in a doubleheader yesterday. Okay? We got home about 3 o'clock, and I told him we're going to be leaving about 6. I didn't tell him where we were going. I said, we're going to be leaving after 6 o'clock tonight. We took him to the Akron Rubber Ducks game because they had a game up there, and then they had fireworks. I said, so he's like, what are we going to do for 3 hours? I'm like, well, this boy is going to sit and possibly take a nap. He went, well, what am I going to do? You can clean your room. You can sweep the floor, because if you think I'm entertaining you every hour of the day, you've got another thing coming. He does not know how to sit. His mind works on overdrive. So we do not know how to. Maybe the reason why we're so tired is because we've never sat and waited. We've never just sat in his presence. God can do more for you in 5 minutes than what any doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist. He can do more than 5 minutes than what any man can do for you. So why don't you just wait? He tells the disciples, I have to go. It is good for you that if I go, it's better for you. That doesn't make any sense. How can that be better for me? For the one who died on a cross to save the world from sin, how is it better for him to go? And he says, because when I go, the Father can send the Comforter. And he says, and go and wait for him to arrive. Before this, when the Holy Spirit would descend, he would only descend for a time period. He would descend on a prophet, on a king, for a period of time. Now, he said, when I go, not only will he come, but he's going to stay. So go and wait. Some of you have been waiting, looking for an answer for something that's going on in your life. Quit looking and just go wait. Some of you feel like the day never ends and you do not have enough strength for the day. Go sit and wait. I can't ever get healthy. I feel like I'm fighting the same diseases over and over and over again. As soon as I get my finances under control, there's another attack. Would you just go sit and wait? And he looks at them and he says, go and wait. I'm going to close with this. Come on up, worship team. And it remaining upon them, and it stayed on them. This is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John 1:33. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. Did you notice that? And remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. When John baptized Jesus, and the Spirit came down, Scripture was fulfilled there. Notice these words, descending and remaining throughout the Old Testament. Like I said, it only happened for a period of time. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 gathered, and it remained there and remained on them for the rest of their lives. And the same is available to you and I. Everything that happened then can happen to you. The same Holy Spirit that was working on Paul and that was working through Peter, whenever said they would pass by somebody and their shadow would overtake somebody. The same Holy Spirit that was working through the disciples can now work through you. Imagine what Moses must feel like right now, sitting there saying, man, I wonder what that would be like. We sit here and we have a tremendous opportunity to change the lives of those around us. And all it takes is for us to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to change your family's lives? Tap in. You want to change your spouse? Tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to change your child's life? Tap into the Holy Spirit. You want to change your finances? Tap into the Holy Spirit. He's just waiting on you. Stand with me, if you would.